God has made everything beautiful in its time and has set eternity in the human heart. So seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. So we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
So I think the kind of the first place I usually like to begin with difficult things is the thing that's sort of most difficult about it. And to me, this topic of healing really, in my life growing up, it all stemmed from this verse in the Bible that talks about the faith of a mustard seed. And that was from an example where the apostles themselves were actually trying to drive out a demon from a child, and they weren't experiencing any success with that. And then Jesus rolls over and is like, boom, demon gone. And the apostles are like, what the heck? Like, how did you just do that? And he's like, you guys don't have enough faith. If you just have the faith of a mustard seed, you'd be able to do this. And if you know anything about a mustard seed, it's like the tiniest little thing. And so it's like, oh my gosh, like, how do I just not have that much faith? That seems like such a tiny amount of faith. And for me, what it sort of resulted in was this anecdotal view of how I was to approach healing, prayer, getting things that I wanted when I was asking for them. And it turned it into, well, if I'm not getting what I'm asking for in prayer, if it's a good thing, like healing my brother of cancer or healing of a friend that needs healing from some sort of damage or a relational healing or healing in the world of some sort. And if that's not being answered, then there must be something wrong with me in the way that I'm praying, because I'm just not having enough faith. And if I just had enough faith, that it would work. And I think that to me now is a little bit of a hurtful type of perspective of how to view the healing that God has in mind for us. Because our plans, I've just seen it so many times in my life, that our plans just are totally superseded by God's plans. And my definition of what healing looks like doesn't always have to be what God's definition of healing looks like. And so I really had to have sort of this change of perspective through a couple different things that I'll talk about a little later to just change the way that I really thought about healing. Because Christ, if we look at the life of Christ, we see him and we talk about him so much as being the sacrifice for us. He's the sacrifice, and he was the only one that could do that. Like, I couldn't die for your sin. Like, that doesn't work like that. And I couldn't die for your guys' sin. Only Christ could die for our sin. And there was a power that Christ had in that because he was God. And there is a power in the way that he heals that all healing stems from him. There is this uniqueness about Christ that if we are saying, well, I'm not exactly like Christ. I'm not exactly like God. I can't put myself to that standard. So what are some ways that I can strive to be more like that, but not get so down on myself for feeling like I'm not that? Because Christ is the sacrifice, and he's also the healer. All goodness and all healing that we receive comes through the power of Christ, and then after his death, through the power of his Holy Spirit.
Yeah, and I think something so beautiful about Jesus being our healer is that he's actually our wounded healer, that the Bible says that it's by his wounds that we are healed. And Jesus being a wounded healer is paradoxical by nature, but it's a beautiful thing because it gives us hope and actually empowers us to be wounded healers as well. That we don't have to wonder if the wounds and the baggage that we carry, if that makes us unable or if that disqualifies us from being a blessing to other people, but it's actually by our wounds often that we're able to reach people the most. And in my personal story, in being able to talk to other people who have gone through the same thing that I have gone through, I've actually found healing for myself, and there's just a sense of camaraderie, just finding someone who has gone through something that you have as well. And I think that is such a beautiful reality that Jesus has given us. It's a gift that he has given us by being our wounded healer. And Isaiah 53 really sets up this reality of who Jesus is as our healer in a beautiful way. And this might be a passage that a lot of you have heard before if you've grown up in church, but I'm going to read it to us from a different translation called The Message. And I want to invite you, if you're willing, to close your eyes and just receive these words in a new way, as if you're hearing it for the first time. There was nothing attractive about him, nothing to cause us to take a second look. He was looked down on and passed over, a man who suffered, who knew pain firsthand. One look at him and people turned away. We looked down on him, thought he was scum. But the fact is, it was our pains he carried, our disfigurements, all the things wrong with us. We thought he brought it on himself, that God was punishing him for his own failures. But it was our sins that did that to him, that ripped and tore and crushed him, our sins. He took the punishment, and that made us whole. Through his bruises, we get healed. Through his bruises, we get healed. And I think that's such a beautiful picture, that Jesus decided to go through those wounds to heal us. That he took on that pain and he took on that suffering because he wanted to heal us. And I think that's so interesting that we see this deep desire and longing of God to make us whole, to bring us into this healing and shalom. But still, we often approach God when we ask for healing with, if you're willing, will you heal me? And we see that all throughout the Gospels, that people are approaching Jesus with this if. And I think this if often carries a lot of doubts and questions. It's rooted in us not really believing that God's intentions for us can be good, that his intentions are not to heal us, that he doesn't really want to heal us, and he's not really even able to heal us, we may think. But when anyone in the Gospels would come to Jesus and say, if you're willing, will you heal me? There was never a moment where Jesus ever turned someone away. He always healed them. And the most interesting thing about that is he would never just make a quick fix and just heal someone and take care of their physical need, but he always saw something deeper and a heart issue that he was after, and that was the most important thing for him. So I think that when we approach God and we ask him for healing, I honestly don't think that he will ever turn us away and that he will ever say no. But sometimes if we approach him for maybe a physical or relational healing, he might see something deeper spiritually that needs to happen in us, and he might say no to the healing that we are approaching him with, and we might feel rejected in those moments. But even when it feels like rejection, it's actually him accepting us even more and welcoming us more in to that relationship. So he is always, always willing to heal us, but it's not always the healing that we want. And sometimes when we don't get the healing we want, we can harden our hearts. That's a very natural thing to happen. There's no shame in that happening, but God wants to meet us and soften our hearts as he welcomes us into a deeper healing that he wants us to experience. And if you've been at Sanctuary for the past few months, you may have heard me tell my story a few times if you were at the retreat. Part of my story is that I am a victim of sexual assault, and I went on a journey of healing through that after my husband and I got married. And part of that journey, a big step I took, was writing a song that we sing often together here called Always Good to Me. And part of my healing was actually recognizing that God was who he said he was, that he was good in the midst of my deepest suffering. And going on this journey of healing, I think the most frustrating thing for me was I really wanted it to be a quick fix. I just wanted there to be this light switch that turned and I would be healed and I would have forgiven this person and I would have moved on and never thought about it and never felt any pain from it ever again. But something that God revealed to me in the process is that he doesn't just do a quick fix healing. He meets us in the process. He meets us in our mourning, and he is not all about the finished product, but he wants to be there with us in the process and to heal us in those moments. And it doesn't mean that we forget what happened to us. The reality is that God is the only one who, when he forgives, can actually forget and cast our sin out of his mind. That the Bible says that he casts our sin as far as the east is from the west, but we don't have that supernatural power of forgiveness that God has. So wrongs that have been done to us, we still remember and we still hurt from. And as I was preparing for this this week, I was reminded of kind of a nerdy story. Have any of you read or seen the Lord of the Rings movies?
Heck yes.
Yes.
You're such a nerd.
I really didn't see enough hands raised. That's kind of concerning. Well, I was thinking about the Lord of the Rings, and Frodo is going on this journey, and he has this ring around his neck. And this ring, as he gets closer and closer to letting it go, it just weighs down on him, and it's heavy. And he has his friend Samwise Gamgee along with him every step of that journey. And I think Sam is a beautiful, beautiful picture of the Holy Spirit, who has never left Frodo in this season and in this journey of healing, really, I think. And at this one point when Frodo is almost to the end of it, he is so weak and the ring is weighing so heavily down on him that he can't even move. And Sam says, "I can't carry it for you, but I can carry you." And I think that's such a beautiful picture of what God does with us, that he carries us and he brings us to that place of healing, even when we can't move and when we feel so weighed down. And along this journey, after Frodo lets go of the ring, there's like huge healing that happens to the land, and everything is made new and restored.
Spoiler alert. Yeah,
spoiler alert, Tatiana.
Sorry, if you
Jeez.
Haven't seen or read them now, you never will. but so Frodo lets go of the ring, and on this journey, at one point, he is stabbed in the side by a Nazgul, and every time that one of them screams, he actually feels that wound open up, and he's in excruciating pain, and he's pretty much paralyzed by fear and by pain. And even after all of it is done, it's 7 years to the date that that happened, and Frodo's at his house, and Sam comes over, and Frodo is pressing the side where he was stabbed, and he says, "You know, it's been 7 years, but when I press on it, it still hurts." And I was thinking about how we can move on, we can go through these steps of healing and get to this place where we feel restored, but if something happens and presses on that wound, it will still hurt, and that's normal. And as I was even preparing for this, I feel like God gave me a story that's very fresh to share with you all about this, where my wound was pressed on and it hurt. Timmy and I were seeing someone who's very close to us that I wish that I could share my story with. I wish I felt safe with this person to share my story with, but many things have come up that have just shown me that it's not safe to share my story with this person. And they said something that was very hurtful and just made it seem like this is for sure, I will never be able to tell this person what happened to me because they would judge me and that they would see it as my fault. And we came home and I was just a wreck, and I was telling my husband, "I don't think I can ever see this relationship being made whole again. I don't think I can ever see full restoration with this person. I don't think I will ever see a reality where I can tell this person my story." And Timmy said something so profound to me, that it's God's will for this relationship to be restored and made whole, that God wants this to be made whole and redeemed, and he will. And that might not be now, it might be in eternity when God makes all things new, but God's desire is for this relationship to be restored, and I think that's so beautiful.
Thanks for sharing that, Tatiana. I mean, this healing is, it's a big topic, and it's a very personal topic. And so tonight might feel a little heavier than normal, but that's okay. It's okay to enter into these conversations of areas that there's been hurt or harm, and just talk in a community of faith to say, hey, I've been hurt here, I've been harmed here, and to know that Jesus is an advocate for us to be whole. I mean, we're in this series called The New Reality, talking about the kingdom of God, and that's the reality that Jesus is bringing to us, and the reality that we're destined for is to be created and to be made whole. And Tatiana, you're talking about emotional healing, and then you kind of ended in relational healing, and that's where I want to talk a little bit about emotional healing and end in relational healing. And I've said this a time or two from on stage, but one of my favorite Bible verses is my favorite Bible story is about the woman who gets a jar of perfume, and she breaks the jar of perfume, and then she pours it over Jesus's head and anoints Jesus. And what I like about the story, she doesn't just twist off the cap and just gently, she breaks the bottle and she pours it. And when she's doing this, the people around Jesus says, why are you letting this woman waste this expensive, highly expensive perfume on you? And Jesus said, whoa, 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 whoa. She's actually doing something very special, and she's blessing me. And what's interesting about that is, you know, when I reflect on that story and I reflect on my life, I was abused by my mother growing up, and still would be if I would let her into my life, which is a really hard sentence to say. And growing up being verbally and emotionally and spiritually abused, I have felt like that jar just kind of broken and wasted. And that's kind of where my story of deep hurt and harm is. And but what's interesting is when I first learned about Jesus, I had such this desire to be loved, because I didn't know what that was. And when I heard that God was love, I wanted that. And the more I would learn about God's love for me, and the more I would talk about God and accept his love and go into community, the more I realized that I wasn't broken and wasted, that God was doing something beautiful in my life. Kind of like the woman was doing, she was doing something beautiful, and those broken pieces, God had the ability to turn those into a mosaic, something beautiful. And when we're talking about healing, if he can do that to me, I know that he can do that to you too. And that's the God who we're discussing. And in relational healing, another story, there was a particular person who we just didn't get along. You know, you'll find people who you just don't get along with, and that's just, it is what it is. And
I get along with everyone.
Yeah, no, you don't. But we really tried, and we really, really tried to get along, but soon that relationship came to one where I was getting really, really hurt by that relationship. Really, really hurt. And over time, just, it was kind of a really hard relationship, so we ended up not really being in contact with each other. And so I feel like it was a wound that, you know, when you would poke, you're like, ah, oh, that hurts. But God was slowly kind of healing that wound. But this person came up to me, though, and I was not expecting this. And this person said, hey, Michael, I realize that my relationship with you has been one that I've really, really hurt you. And I was blown away. I'm like, oh my goodness, what's happening right now? And this person said, I just want to ask you to forgive me for that. Forgive me for everything that I've done. And I was blown away. That was the last thing I was expecting. And at that moment, I felt like I had two decisions. The first one was to say, like, no, I don't forgive you, and this is why. And just to bring this person into the catalogs of hurt that this person has done for me. But then when my mind went there, I went to just my relationship with Jesus and just how I often don't listen to Jesus, and I do things that he probably is hurt over, but he forgives me. And so in that moment, I'm like, you know what? I forgive you. And then I was looking in this person's eyes, and I realized that even though I didn't want to admit it, I really have hurt that person too. And so I had the decision to make to go towards relational healing. And I think with this sort of healing, God kind of gives us the opportunity and the invitation to mend relationships, because it takes two for a relationship. It takes two people. And so this person said, hey, forgive me. And so I'm like, you know what? I realize that I've really hurt you too. Will you forgive me? And the person, I just, at the moment, I saw the hurt that I did, and the person said, yeah. And so we're on the road to reconciliation right now. But the second area of healing that we're talking about, relational healing, the more I think about it, God gives us the ability to move forward in relational healing, but he also gives us the decision. He gives us the keys to making the decision to be relationally healed. With my mother, we're not there. I pray that we're there, but we're just not. There's a lot of just kind of different mental, you know, things that she struggles with, which doesn't perhaps let her enter into that. That's a whole nother story. But with some relationships, we have the opportunity to say, hey, even though I don't think I did wrong, I'm sorry. Can we mend this?
One thing I want to add to that is something that just I found in relational mending is that this thing called pride is just so interwoven in every aspect of our emotion. It affects so many things that we do. And that's an example of how you could have been prideful and said, you know what, like, I didn't deserve any of this. This is all your fault. But you didn't. You humbled yourself. And that's so difficult to do, but it's so important to do that in relational healing when you seek relational healing. Jesus brought himself so low. God brought himself so low. He's like the person that made us all. He could just like zap us and we would all be dead. Like, but he turned into like this squishy, like weak person. That like, yeah. I mean, yeah. That's like serious humbling of himself to come to this earth and do that and be that. And he did that for reconciliation and healing with us. So anyway, I just wanted to say that. Emotional and relational healing is something that can take a lifetime. It can just take so long, and it's so difficult to see sometimes if progress is actually being made. One of the other areas of healing, physical healing, is sometimes we deal with chronic illness that does last a lifetime. But one of the ways that physical healing is this element of healing that can be so powerful or so confusing is that it's also something that can happen so fast. It can either happen or not happen. And I have two stories that I'd like to share with you guys that I've experienced on both ends of the spectrum. Both ends.
Both.
But of the spectrum.
They make fun of me because I say both with an L.
Both. Anywho.
Like, you guys are weird. Correct.
Accurate. So the first is, you know, I really, truly grew up believing that, you know, if I just believe hard enough, no matter what it is that I'm asking for, will happen. Like, literally, there's no reason for me to move that mountain. But, like, if I believe hard enough, it could work. And I had a friend who, we're still friends, but I had this friend who, talking about him in the past.
Not my friend anymore.
who suffers from chronic back pain. And I just one day, we were, like, together, and he was just really suffering from it, and he was laying down on the ground. And I was just so moved, and I said, you know what, I just... this just kills me to see you in pain. And I went over to him. I knelt down, and I said, I'm going to pray for you, and I believe that Jesus will heal you. And I laid hands on him, and I prayed more passionately and fervently than I've ever prayed in my life. I was shaking, sweating. I knew it was going to happen. And I got done praying, and I opened my eyes, and we looked at each other, and he felt exactly the same. And what that did to my faith was just, it was really detrimental to me in a lot of ways, because it threw off this whole idea that if I just believe hard enough, because I don't know how I could have believed more hard. I don't know how I could have believed more for this to actually take place. And yet it didn't. Why? Why not? So I have another story on the other end. My brother and his wife were, well, my brother's wife was pregnant. And and there's, I guess, just one person involved.
Tell me more about that, Michael.
And anyway, well, you see.
Don't tell me more about that.
And part of their story is that my brother had gone through cancer, and so it was very, very difficult for them to get pregnant. So the fact that they were pregnant, it was just so, so great. And it was their first child, and there's just everybody knew about it, and it was so exciting. And I can still remember, I was in San Luis Obispo, it was nighttime, I was walking outside, and my brother called me because my sister-in-law had been rushed to the hospital because she was experiencing incredible pain in her abdomen area. And she got brought in, they did this some sort of scan. What is it?
I can tell you're a doctor by trade.
Yeah. They did a scan like this, and it was like, boop, boop, beep, beep. I don't know. And some sort of scan, and they're like, oh, there's some sort of name for it. I don't know what the name is. Really complicated doctor word. But it's basically where an
You're great at stories. I like your stories.
Thanks. The embryo is supposed to be attached to, there's like a safe zone in the uterus where it's to be attached. And there's an unsafe area, which is sort of up in one of the tubes. I don't know. And anyway, let's not get carried away with the details of the story.
I also like how you're pointing to yourself, like you have that anatomy.
Well, it'd be weird if I was pointing to Tati. it had been attached in this really dangerous place, up in one of the uteral tubes. The tube. And they were like, oh, this is like real bad. It can't be attached in this location. We have to abort this child. And they were like, what? No, like, this is crazy. Just in shock, calling everybody, like, this is what's going on. Please pray. Did another scan, same result. We gotta do this, like, now, the doctors are saying. They're like, no, do one more. So they do one more. They get a different doctor, same thing. And so we're all kind of communicating via text and phone, and it was so bad. And then they were just about to wheel my sister-in-law out of the room to go into surgery, and my brother stops the cart and says, no, I will not let you take my wife until you do one more scan, please. And they're like, okay, like, it's gonna be the same thing, like, we've done this 3 times now. And they go to do another scan, and the embryo was in a healthy position in the uterus. And the doctors were like, guess our machines need to be replaced, I guess, because science is the only answer. And to me, you know, that was just such a miracle. I can still remember receiving that phone call from my brother, just in tears. And it's just such a crazy thing, because then what did that do to my faith? It did. But I had these sort of opposing viewpoints of, like, prayer's not being answered, prayer's being answered. Why? And I'm stuck in the middle with this question, why? And if you're out there and you're asking why some things and not the other, that is a great question. I do not have the answer for that. I don't think that there's an answer for that question in the Bible, because if there was, people that are a lot smarter than me.
You've displayed a lot of intelligence.
I really
story,
have,
Michael,
actually. I know you're all impressed with my word choice. I don't even know the word for, like, fancy vocabulary. Vocabulary, that's the word.
Ha ha ha! literally anyone can be up here. So know that you can have this conversation. No, you're Michael's actually really smart. You're good. I'm giving you a hard time. Yeah.
It's a great question to ask, and I don't really think there's an answer for that. And that's not really what this is about, because relationships, it's about relationships. It's about a relationship with the Father, and relationships with people, relationships with our Father, they don't just have some sort of answer. Relationships aren't easy. They take work. There's conflict. There's joy. There's all these different things that are involved in relationships. And it's a process of going through it, through the bad, through the good, and asking that question why it's okay to be in that place. And we just want to talk about it.
And that brings us to the last topic that we want to touch on healing, spiritual healing. And we are, you know, Jesus has, Jesus came over 2,000 years ago in what you say, the squishy body form. I think that's the new theological term for Jesus' incarnation, squishy body form. And
learned that at Fuller.
Yeah, he did not. He died on the cross for our sins so that we can ultimately be healed. And now we're living in this time where we experience this here but not yet kingdom. And in this series, we're talking about the kingdom of God. And in the Revelations, it says that one day every tear from our eyes will be wiped. That signifies the hurt and the pain will be gone and we will be healed. And that's what we believe. And there's this spiritual healing that goes on now and will ultimately one day be finished. And in this time, often it's interesting when I read the New Testament and I see Jesus heal someone, and he doesn't end with the healing. He goes to their spirit and their core and says, sin no more, or follow me, or change your life. Basically, he wants this disconnected relationship to be connected once again. That's spiritual healing. And that's perhaps one of the most significant healings, because that's what we take into the kingdom, even though all the other areas of healing are extremely important.
Yeah, and Jesus often, he said about the Pharisees that the healthy don't need a doctor, it's the sick that need a doctor. And the reality is we are all spiritually broken and in need of healing, but the Pharisees were the ones who didn't want to admit that they needed healing. And Jesus is after our spiritual wholeness and our spiritual shalom and well-being. And Jesus as our wounded healer, there's a beautiful reality in the fact that the Bible says that when we are in eternity, he will still have the holes in his hands. He will still have the holes in his feet and the scar on his side. And I think that's a beautiful picture of knowing that our suffering is not meaningless, that we will look at those scars someday, and with all the beauty around us, we will say, that's the reason why I'm here, that Jesus paid everything to bring me into this wholeness, that he laid down his life, that he was wounded, that he was beaten, that he was betrayed so horribly. And I think it's a beautiful reality, too, that the Bible says that suffering and death will be swallowed up in victory. And the word swallowed is so intentional, because when we swallow something, it actually becomes a part of us. It nourishes us. It makes us stronger. So Jesus, our God, is not one who will take our suffering and the healing that we have gone through, and it won't someday in eternity just be meaningless. Our suffering is not wasted. It will be swallowed up in victory in a way that we're going to see, wow, God, you redeemed this and made this beautiful in a way I could never have understood in this life. But he brings all things together and redeems all things and makes all things beautiful. And his heart for us is that we would be spiritually whole, physically whole, that our relationships would be made whole, and that we would be emotionally whole.
Well, I'm so thankful for you too, and thankful that we can just have a conversation on a topic that is just so personal and kind of heavy. And we intentionally, after this conversation, have set aside time for extended worship. One of the things I like about Sanctuary is we have the space to do that. And so we're going to actually I'm going to give you an invitation to respond to this. But before that, I want to close in prayer. So if you all can join me, let's pray. Jesus, God, we come to you in this really vulnerable topic. I'm sure that people sitting here today didn't perhaps expect something just so deep and kind of heavy to talk about, God, but I just, working in ministry and being at a church, I don't want to be the community that shies away from these hard topics. God, as I look in this world and I see all the hurt and all the harm and all the pain, both that's just around us and that's going on in the world, we need healing. We need help. God, it says that we are created with eternity in our hearts. So when we experience something that violates a sense of that eternity, it violates who we are. And we believe that you are violated when that happens. So God, we come to you in every area that we could be experiencing any sort of hardship or hurt or harm. And we just come to you now and expose it before you. And as an act of faith, we just say, God, heal us. Even if it's in a way that we aren't expecting, even if it's in a way that we don't think you'd show up, even if it's not the physical that we're asking for, but you're into something that's a root of that, we come before you tonight, and we don't want to pass tonight up without coming before you. So we acknowledge that you are here, and we love you in your name. Amen.